You got everything? Phone, wallet, passport?
Yeah, I think I got everything.
You know she finna start crying, right?
Be quiet, Aubrey. Listen, sweetie, make sure you call us when you get there. You know I'm gonna worry about you.
All right, yeah, I will. My flight gets in around 8:30, but you know I gotta get some Wi-Fi first. But when I get some Wi-Fi, I'll let y'all know.
All right, man. Well, you know what to do. Handle your business.
As always, we're real proud of you, baby boy.
All right, appreciate it. Love y'all.
Love you too.
What's good, everybody? It's Kendrick Perry here, aka KP3, aka Mr. Certified in Person, bringing you Life Across the Water. Yo, what is up, everybody? It's Kendrick Perry here, aka Mr. Certified in Person, back to officially announce that Life Across the Waters is back, season two. After about a 2-year hiatus, you know, I'm finally excited to say that Life Across the Waters is back. Got some exciting things in the works in the future. You know, I appreciate everybody who tuned in when I first thought of this idea a couple years ago. And you know, life happens. I think it's been a lot going on with me personally these last couple years that I haven't really been able to give the time and energy to Life Across the Waters that I know I wanted to give. So, you know, I apologize for that taking so long, but you know, that's neither here nor there. We are back. And, you know, I just wanted to start off with, this intro episode, the season two, to just kind of, you know, update everybody on what's been going on in my life. And just to, you know, recap some of the things we did last season. And yeah, so without further ado, let's get into it. So first off, if you're new here, you know, you can obviously go back and do your homework. Had about 6 episodes on all podcast streaming services, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, wherever you like to listen to podcasts, they should be there. Just type in Life Across the Waters and it should come up. I had guests such as my former teammates in Seta Vita, Ryan Brown, Mikael Hopkins, Jared Jones. I had my guy Rashawn Thomas, who I played against in the ABA League when he was in Belgrade and I was with Seta Vita. My man Devin Oliver, Paris Lee, and last but not least, my guy Mango Matiang. I see he's back on the court and doing his thing after he suffered a real gruesome injury when we were playing together. So it's good to see him back on the court, you know, where he belongs, playing the game that he loves. And, you know, I'm still in touch with all of these guys, man. And it's just so great to see them continue to strive and do their thing and try to make the most out of their opportunities as well. So, if you haven't, tapped in with me yet, you know, you can always go back and see some of those, earlier episodes and who knows, maybe I can get those guys back on here. To update, to give them a chance to update on what's going on in their lives. So you guys hear this, man, you know, y'all are more than welcome to reach out to me, holler at me, and then we can definitely set something up. So, you know, you guys can let everybody know what's been on your mind, what's been going on, and just, you know, how your life across the waters has changed these last couple years. So, yeah, before I really get into the update, just want to say that we are I'm shooting this right now in Podgorica, Montenegro. You know, as a member of the Montenegrin national team, I'll talk a little bit later about kind of how that came about. But, yeah, I'm fresh off of winning Copa del Rey in Spain with my team, Unicaja Malaga. Again, I'll give way more detail that coming up, but just wanted to, you know, kind of give you guys a glimpse of where I'm at in my life right now as I'm starting this new season of Life Across the Waters. So yeah, basically when we last spoke, when you guys last heard from me, like I said, I was playing with Seta Vita Olimpia at the time, a team found in Slovenia, Ljubljana, Slovenia. That was about 2 years ago. Had a really good season there individually. And I was able to, after that, I was able to sign a big contract with Panathinaikos, a very prestigious basketball club based out of Athens, Greece. 6-time EuroLeague champion. One of the most historic ball clubs in all of Europe, I would think, or I would say, one of the best fan bases there is in Europe. And I was at a point in my life where I was ready to take that next step. You know, is for those that know about Europe, you know, EuroLeague is the top of the top, in terms of competition, in terms of competitiveness on a night in, night out basis. So I was ready to prove myself. I think everything that I have went through in my career prior had led me to that point. I felt that I was ready to play at the highest level. And, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to kind of showcase, you know, my skills. So, you know, once I signed, it was a lot of excitement. It was a lot of, I don't want to say nervousness, but a lot of anxiousness to show that I could play, to show that I belong. And long story short, you know, it didn't really go how I saw it going in my mind. When I got there, I had a great preseason, was playing really well. And you know, I felt like I was, I felt something that I didn't feel in terms of wanting to, you know, stay long term. And, you know, I fell in love with the city of Athens. Me and my fiance at the time, we loved it. We loved the city. We loved the support we were getting at the time. But unfortunately, it was kind of short lived. For those that know, my first game out, I didn't have the best game. I think I went 0-9, 0-10, ended up not scoring. And, you know, after that, it all just kind of spiraled out of control from there, in terms of individually and as a team, honestly. But, you know, I'm more so speaking towards me individually. I think after that first game, the coach, whatever confidence he had in me, flew out the window. He said, I vividly remember him saying, you know, we had a team meeting, and him saying that he felt like we needed a point guard, which to me, I felt was a little unfair because, again, this is the first game of the season. I hate that I was, you know, judged that way off of one game, especially my first game in terms of my EuroLeague career. But it is what it is. And, you know, I just couldn't really shake back after that in terms of getting my confidence back. I was kind of playing with a sense of I have to make sure I do the right thing to stay in the game rather than just playing my game and, you know, for better or for worse. And for those that, you know, for those that hoop, you know, that's not a way to play the game. You know, you can't play looking over your shoulder thinking, you know, well, I got to do the right thing or I'm going to come out the game, or, you know, if I miss this shot, I'm going to come out the game, or if I make this turnover, I'm going to come out the game. That's not a way to think as a basketball player. You know, you want to be able to be yourself. You want to be able to play in an environment that allows you to make mistakes and grow from them. And unfortunately for me, that wasn't the environment. So, you know, I still cherish my time there. I met a lot of great people there that I still keep in contact with to this day. I wish nothing but the best for the ball club. You know, I still got love for the city of Athens, met some great people off the court who I still am in contact with to this day. But on the court, it was just a little weird situation for me. And it was something really unfortunate because at the time, I really felt like Athens could have been somewhere where I saw myself long term in terms of making a name for myself in EuroLeague. But again, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, we learn from everything, we grow from everything. So I'm still thankful for my opportunity there. I'm still thankful for the relationships that I made there. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to learn from it. I'm glad I was able to grow from it and just become a better basketball player and a better person. So moving forward, now we're looking at around this time last year, I'd probably say like January of last year, the team and I made a mutual decision to terminate the contract, which is about halfway through the season, for those that know. So, you know, now I'm at a point where it's a little weird for me. I've never been in a situation where I had to leave a team halfway through the season. So it was kind of different for me. I had a lot of things going on through my mind. But found myself back in the ABA League playing with Budućnost, a team based out of Podgorica, Montenegro, where I currently am now, recording this podcast. It was, for me, I was just looking to go into a situation with a fresh start, right? You know, somewhere where I was familiar in terms of the ABA League and just playing there for most of my career, playing with guys who I used to compete against, talking about Justin Cobbs, and, you know, playing with Willie Reed at the time, who I played with in the G League my first year professionally. And, you know, playing with DJ Seeley, who I played against, or who I didn't play against, but I just kind of knew prior to, just from, you know, watching him perform on the EuroLeague stage and just kind of hearing about him. So I was excited. I was really excited to play with those guys, along with, you know, the domestic players that I played against, who I was pretty familiar with. But more so, I was just excited for a fresh start. And I think I got that with Budućnost. I was able to finish that season on a good note. When I first got there, Budućnost was preparing to play for the domestic cup, which we ended up winning. So that was a good trophy for me to get almost right off the plane. And then fast forwarding towards the end of the season and us winning the domestic league championship as well. So, after getting knocked out of the ABA League playoffs, my Partizan, I was able to, you know, bounce back and help Budućnost secure the Montenegro League championship. So, that was a nice little way to end the season that kind of started off a little rocky and was real rocky for a while. And from that came the opportunity to gain citizenship here in Montenegro, which I kind of touched on earlier about me being here with the Montenegro national team. But to go into more detail, so with the help of my agent, I was able to secure the Montenegrin citizenship. I'm currently a Montenegro citizen, playing with the national team. So that experience in itself has been great. You know, just being able to not only represent myself, my family, but an entire country has been something that is a blessing. It's something that, once I really understood the magnitude of what that was, has been a goal of mine. So I'm extremely grateful to the Federation for giving me a chance to lead this team and to try to help this team achieve something special that it hadn't done before. So now we're looking at the summer of last year. So now I'm a newly Montenegrin citizen, coming off of a championship. But I think the biggest thing for me that happened, you know, over these past couple of years is that I married the love of my life. We decided to take that step and you know, join our unions together. It was a great celebration. It was a great time leading up to the wedding. You know, I think you know, I'll go into further detail about that a little later, but I think my perspective about a lot of stuff has changed since being married, and it continues to change since being married, because one thing I really understand, just going through this whole life journey, is that it's a lot of work. It's a lot of daily work. And, you know, it kind of gets, I feel like it kind of gets swept under the rug when you're not fully in it and you're kind of looking on the outside in. You know, I see my parents being happily married for 30 plus years, and they make it look so easy that, you know, I guess I kind of assume that once I decided to tie the knot with my person, it would come just as easy. And just having different conversations with people who are married, obviously my parents, some of my really good friends, they just echo the same thing, that it's a lot of work. You know, of course it's enjoyable. Of course there are going to be moments that are better than others, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of work. So, you know, as Amber and I continue this journey, we're fairly new in it. But, you know, I'm excited to be with her in terms of what she does for me, what I try to do for her. And we're just, you know, we're figuring this thing out, you know, one day at a time. But I think, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. I know that she's my person. I know that, you know, no matter what I go through individually, she always has my back. She always supports me, right, wrong, or indifferent. And, you know, being a part of this life, isn't easy for her. In terms of never really knowing what the next thing is, never really knowing what the future holds. So, you know, I'm for sure going to take this moment to give her flowers in terms of just riding through this crazy ride of life with me. And just to let her know that it doesn't go appreciated, or it doesn't go unappreciated. Doesn't go unnoticed. And yeah, baby, let's just keep on working at this thing. See if we can make something out of it. Yeah. So, here we are now, fast forward to August timeframe, newly married man. You know, didn't really have time for a honeymoon because now with my Montenegrin citizenship, I have obligations with the national team as they prepare for EuroBasket 2022. Which is a huge opportunity for me personally. For those that don't know, it was a tournament of some of the top countries around the world, or I'm sorry, within Europe, to compete for a medal. So, you know, we have Germany, Greece, Spain, Slovenia, France, Croatia, ourselves, Montenegro. Of course, I'm missing some high caliber teams, but this is one of the biggest stages in all of Europe. You know, for those that might have recalled seeing Giannis play with the Greece team a few months ago, and Luka Doncic playing with Slovenia, Rudy Gobert playing with France, Dennis Schroeder playing with Germany. You know, this is something that obviously the top guys come back for and compete because it's that serious for their countries. So, you know. August 2022, I left home a little earlier to join Montenegro and prepare for that because, you know, as a smaller country, as a quote unquote underdog country, you know, we felt like we could have made some noise there, and you know, we ended up doing just that. You know, after a strong showing in our group, it was us. Turkey, where I got to play against my boy Shane Larkin, Belgium, and Georgia, the host country, we were able to secure a spot for the top 16. And you know, for those that don't know, and for those that think they might know but don't really fully understand, you know, Montenegro, for as long as I can recall, has never been in this situation before. So, for us to do something like that is something really special, I think, for the country. You know, I'm humbled and I'm honored that I was part of that. And unfortunately we got put out by the host country in Germany, Dennis Schroeder in Germany. But just to be a part of that experience, man, it was something amazing. It was something that was once in a lifetime. You know, my wife was able to come with me, and just the videos that we were able to, you know, record, and just the memories we were able to make there was something special. And, you know, it was something I was glad I was able to be a part of. So yeah, that was awesome. So before Eurobasket, I have to mention that I did sign to play in Unicaja Malaga, which is in Spain in the ACB, which is, for those that know, is one of, if not the strongest domestic league in all of Europe. And what I mean by domestic league, for those that might not know, is each country has their own league, right? So Turkey has their own league, Montenegro has their own league, Serbia, Spain, France, they all have their own domestic league, right? In terms of, France only plays against other teams in France, and Slovenia plays against only teams in Slovenia. In terms of domestic league, Spain, I would say, and a lot of other people would say, that it's the strongest top to bottom in all of Europe. So I was really excited to join that ball club. I heard a lot of great things about the city itself. Had good conversations with the coach, Ibon Navarro, beforehand. So again, I was just excited to really get into it. So after Eurobasket, I flew back to Spain to join my teammates. And that pretty much brings us to where we are now. You know, I am with the Montenegro national team, but when I'm done here, I'll fly back to Spain and join my teammates in Unicaja in Malaga. And so far, man, it's been a season for the history books. We're playing some really good basketball. We've been playing some really good basketball. It's a team that has been like none other than what I've been a part of, in terms of, you got 12 guys who are just all on the same page, all locked in, focused. I feel like we all made the necessary sacrifices individually for the team's sake, and it's paid dividends. If I'm not mistaken, we're currently ranked 5th in the ACB. But more importantly than that, we just came off winning the Copa del Rey, which for those that don't know is the ACB, the domestic league's cup tournament. But again, like I said, the ACB is one of the strongest domestic leagues in all of Europe. You know, when you got big teams like Barcelona, like Real Madrid, you know, we were able to win that tournament in historic fashion. First by beating Barcelona in the quarterfinals, then beating Real Madrid in the semifinals, and then topping it off with a win against Tenerife for the championship. So, as of a few weeks ago, as of a week ago, we are the newly crowned champions of the ACB in terms of the Copa del Rey. Now, of course, we still have the second half of our season to go, and we still have big goals in mind. We're playing internationally. We're playing in the Basketball Champions League, and we're doing really well in that as well, sitting first place in our group. So we have a lot of momentum right now. We have a lot of reasons to be confident right now. But I think at the same time, we understand that, you know, coming off of the Copa del Rey, now teams are going to be more focused on us than ever. I think that's something we have to expect moving forward. But being with this group, I know that we're up for the challenge. We're ready for whatever might be thrown at us. I think we've proved that. So just to kind of piggyback off of what I was saying earlier about the Copa del Rey, us winning it in the way that we did, us winning it in general is huge, but us winning it in the way that we did is something remarkable. I think there was a stat that said no team for 70 years has beaten Barcelona and Real Madrid in the same Copa del Rey. I think it's been 18 years since Malaga has last won it. So, you know, for us to bring that trophy back to the city is something that is unexplainable. I can't really put it into words. you know, I still, when I talk with my teammates about it, it's still, you know, mind blowing that, you know, we did it the way that we did it. Shout out to the fans who came and supported us, in Barcelona, during the whole tournament. It's always special to win something like that in front of the fans and to celebrate it with them. And when we got back to Malaga, we did just that. The city came out in high fashion, in spectacular numbers, and they celebrated with us, man, because they knew just how significant it was for not just, you know, the team, not just for the organization, but for the whole city of Malaga. So, you know, like I said before, we have no reason to not be confident. You know, of course, we have to remain humble. We have to continue to work on our weaknesses. We have to continue to make sure our strengths stay our strengths. But, yeah, we're just in a really good place right now, I think, as a group. So I'm excited to see what the future holds for us in that regard. So now that you guys are all caught up, man, you know, like I said, I'm excited to start this back up. It's been a couple years in the making, and you know, looking forward to season two. You know, I'm gonna have some really good guests on here. Some of my former teammates, some of my current teammates, some of my favorite competitors, guys that I look up to in terms of, you know, admiring what they have done in their respective careers. So, you know, I'm excited to give you guys a lot of insight from different perspectives in terms of players and, you know, what they're like on the court, what they're like off the court, you know, and just giving guys an outlet to tell their stories, I think is the biggest thing. You know, when I started this thing during COVID, I started it with the goal in mind of, you know, letting people be able to tell their stories in their way. And I think that's so important with us as overseas basketball players, because we go through a lot. Physically, we go through a lot emotionally, we go through a lot mentally, and a lot of it kind of gets swept under the rug because a lot of people out there just want us to shut up and dribble. Unfortunately, that's the reality that we're in. But you know, I just hope that, you know, this platform continues to give people an outlet to show more of themselves as not just a basketball player, but as a person as well. So you know, I'm looking forward to hearing guys' stories. I'm looking forward to sharing them all with you guys. And yeah, man, I just, like I said, I just want to continue to grow this thing and see what comes from it. But at the basis of all of it, man, is being able to let people share their stories and show what, you know, this life across the waters is really like from an unfiltered perspective. So you guys just keep rocking with me while I kind of figure this thing out, and I'm looking forward to sharing this journey with you guys for real. So now I open it up to some questions from you guys, from the listeners, to my followers. So we'll get into that. The first question I see here is, what does it feel like to win the Copa del Rey? And, you know, kind of like I hinted at earlier, man, it's an indescribable feeling. You know, when I sit here and think about it now, it's hard to put into words, from the overall experience, right? And when you get there and you see a bunch of media and you see a bunch of agents, it's real busy. It's real high energy, the whole time, you know, you feel it in the city. So, for us to be a part of it was something special. And of course, when we saw the brackets and how they were set up, you know, we weren't necessarily afraid of anybody, but we knew that our path wasn't going to be the easiest one. So, but we just took it all. We took it one game at a time, you know? And I think once we beat Barcelona, you know, we really didn't have anything to lose. We really didn't have anything to lose to start, but once we beat Barcelona, we were really confident. And then again, we had the same approach with Madrid. You know, we really don't have anything to lose. Nobody expects us to beat Madrid, so let's just go out here and hoop. You know, And I think we did just that. And, you know, once you beat two juggernauts like that, not to say that Tenerife was easy by any means, because they played us probably better than the other two teams. But, you know, you just have a different sense of confidence from top to bottom. And I think that's what really got us over the hump. You know, I when you look at our team is one that is the roster is so well put together that, you know, each game it was two different guys that kind of led us over the hump. And, you know, I don't know too many teams that can say that they have a roster that can do something like that. You know, so for us to do it the way we did it again in front of our fans there, you know, guys had their families there. You know, I had my wife there. It was something indescribable, and it was something that, you know, I'll never forget. For me, it was probably the biggest trophy that I had won, that I've won so far in my career, just in terms of the competition level, the significance of winning. And again, like I said, I just really can't put into words. I'm really trying to think of how I can really describe it, but it's something that's indescribable when you look back at all the pictures and videos. You know, it's just something like, damn, I can't believe we really did that, you know? But it's something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life for sure. Next question, favorite hobbies besides basketball. Well, for those that don't follow me, I'm huge into cooking. I love cooking. I love being in the kitchen. I love trying new recipes. It just kind of gives me a calmness that, you know, I haven't really felt. You know, shout out to my dad for kind of instilling that into me growing up. You know, just being around him in the kitchen while he's doing his thing is always, it's always piqued my interest. So I'm always down to try different things, in the kitchen in terms of cooking different recipes and trying, different things of that nature. Other than that, though, man, my wife and I love binge watching shows, binge watching, you know, just watching TV, enjoying each other's company. We're both heavy in the real estate space right now. You know, we spend a lot of time looking at different properties and trying to see what can come about that for maybe life after basketball. But you know, it's just I love chilling, man. I love being in my own space, with my wife and my friends, my teammates. You know, I'm trying to get back into reading. I have a love hate relationship with reading. Some days I can't put the book down, and other days I can't pick it up. So, but I would say the main thing for me is cooking for sure. That gives me a different level of serenity. That I can kind of relate to on the basketball court in terms of when I'm in the gym by myself just working out, how I can kind of just turn my mind off and not really think about anything else. You know, that's really how I feel about cooking too. So yeah, I would say that's probably my biggest hobbies. Would you return to Powell? I mean, I'll never say never, you know, in terms of closing the door. You know, I like to keep all my opportunities open. Again, you know, I love the city. My wife and I loved the city when we were in Athens. It was a great time. Met a lot of great people. I think for those that know European basketball know just how prestigious Panathinaikos is as a ball club. Even though they've been having, you know, a couple rough years, you know, I'm sure sooner or later they'll get it back on track, and get back to the winning ways where they're accustomed to. But I who knows, man? You know, the future. Who knows what the future holds? I will say I'm extremely happy where I am right now, and you know, I for those that know me know I only focus on, you know, the current in terms of the situation I'm in now, and I give my 100% focus to the team that I'm with now. So, is it out of the question? I'm not really sure. That's, you know, that's for me to decide if that time ever comes. But, you know, I'm extremely happy where I am now, And, you know, for now, I'll just leave it at that. This question says, are you aware of all the happiness, hope, and pride you and the team have brought to Malaga and the fans with that early title? Apart from keep growing up, which are your goals for the rest of the season? You know, I don't think I was fully aware when we first won it. Of course, you know, winning a title is obviously something that's extremely important. But I think once we got back to Malaga and we saw the fans waiting at the airport for us at 3 o'clock in the morning, on a work day or on a work night, I should say. I think then was when I really understood how serious it was. I mean, because you see the stats in terms of, you know, it being historical, but you don't really feel it until you're around that energy of the fans. And then the next day of the parade was something crazy. It felt like the whole city was shut down. You know, you see people honking from their cars, people waving their flags from their windows, from their balconies. And they hung out with us pretty much all day, you know, going into the nighttime. I think, you know, we understood it after that. But again, it's something that, you know, we're still kind of like, man, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe we won it like that. But, you know, it's something that we don't take lightly. And it's something that, you know, we hope the city can continue to be proud of. In terms of goals for the rest of the season, we're a confident group, you know. You know, our saying throughout the Copa del Rey was "Por qué no nosotros," which means, you know, why not us? So you know, we still have a lot of season left. We still have a Champions League season to finish off. But we're very confident in our goals in terms of what we want to accomplish in the Champions League. You know, being one of those top two teams at the end to fight for it all. We're confident in our group in terms of getting to the ACB playoffs and trying to do some damage there. So, you know, our whole thing, ¿por qué no nosotros? why not us? Why can't we win Champions League? You know, why can't we win the ACB? We have the confidence to do it. We have the tools to do it. We have the coach to do it. So, you know, with all those pieces put together, man, it's a recipe for something special. And I think it's just a matter of us just continuing to go out and continuing to work, continuing to be hungry. But you know, why can't we run the table on this thing? How's life been for you since you've been married? I would say the biggest thing, I mean, kind of like I hinted at earlier, I think the biggest thing is that it's work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of daily deposits. Some days you're going to see it. Some days you're not. Just like hooping, for real, you know. Some days you're going to be in a slump. Some days you're going to be shooting real good. But at the end of the day, the work has to remain the same. And I think it's the same in terms of when you decide to take that next step in marriage. You know, all the things that you did to catch the eye of your significant other, all the things you did to try to maintain your significant other, or not maintain, but, you know, keep her interested. I think it has to stay the same, if not go up, because, you know, as humans, we can tend to get stagnant over time. You know, I've fallen victim to it for sure. So I think the biggest thing for me is to try to continue ways to be there for my wife, whether that's romantically, whether that's emotionally. You know, just try to find ways to make sure she's her best self. Is my focus. While continuing to, you know, enjoy it, enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey. Know that there's no real destination at the end, if that makes sense. But just enjoying the time, man. Enjoying the time, enjoying the journey of growing together is something that I'm continuing to look forward to. So, I think that's, in terms of perspective, I think that's how my life has changed since being married. Of course, you have to be a little more disciplined with your daily habits, because it's not just, you know, yourself now that you're thinking of. It's you know, your significant other. It's building towards the future. It's, you know, building towards something that, you know, you might not really be able to see day in and day out, but you got to have faith and know that things are gonna matriculate how they will, as long as you continue to put the right energy into it. So I think that's those are some of the biggest things I've learned since being married. And the last one for now, I would love for you to share with young hoopers the dedication and love for the game you must have to make it as a high level European pro. Also, can you share any advice with aspiring pros as how to work your way up in Europe? I tell you what, it definitely takes a different level of dedication. But more so than that, I think it's about mental toughness than anything. You know, when I think of my early years, being overseas, being in Europe playing, you know, it wasn't always, you know, I had a car to go to practice. It wasn't always, you know, I'm in a beautiful city where the beach where I can see the beach from my balcony. I wasn't always in a beautiful city like Athens, where there's so much to do. You know, for better or worse, I was in the trenches a lot of times, and a lot of times I was in the trenches by myself. So, you know, it's a lot mentally. I would say it's a lot more mentally than physically, because at the end of the day, basketball is basketball. We're going to figure that out as pros and as competitors. We're going to figure that out. But it's a lot of the off the court stuff that takes a toll more than anything. So I think this game is not for the, or this life is not for the mentally weak. And I don't want to say weak, but you know, you gotta have your mentals intact for this life. Some days are going to be easier than others. Some days are going to be much, much harder than others. But I think the love of the game is what will always bring you back. You know, and I think of the times when I wanted to stop playing, it was the love of the game that always brought me back, to pushing through and to seeing it through. So, you know, for me, of course, the dedication has to be there. The work has to be there in terms of, always wanting to improve your game, improve your weaknesses, understanding your game more. And what I mean by that is, when you're in your workouts in the off season, you know, really understand your game and, you know, what these coaches are going to want from you. You know, I'll be the first to say, I'm not a quote unquote shooter, so I'm not going to spend a lot of my workouts in the off season, coming off pin downs and going off flares. You know, I still do, but I'm not going to spend a whole workout on that, because the chances of me being in those positions in a game is not as likely as me playing in pick and roll scenarios where I need to read defense and things of that nature. So, just understanding your game a little more, I think is the biggest difference as a pro in terms of, working out on the court. And for, you know, the young aspiring, European or players that want to play in Europe, I would just try to say, you know, the best thing you can do is win. You know, obviously it's easier said than done. You know, a lot of things that are out of your control have to fall in line in that regard. But, you know, we European players understand it's better to average 8 points on a championship team than 20 points on a losing team. You know, that's just the way it is. They, you know, the teams over here, they continue to look at winning and what players can do to impact on winning teams, rather than, oh yeah, he got 30, but you know, his team is 2-25, you know? I think, but don't get me wrong, a lot of players have had success that way as well. But I think, overall, I think winning trumps a lot of stuff. So if you can be part of a winning team, be part of a winning culture, you know, that'll definitely suit you better for the next move. But of course, every opportunity is different. Every year is different. Every season and team is different. So I would just say embrace everything. Don't limit yourself to your bubble in terms of how Americans think that, you know, we're from America. So, you know, we're just better than everybody. Our everything is better than everybody else's everything. It's not the case. You know, you go to some of these places and it's truly astounding. Some of the people you meet, some of the things you see, some of the food you eat, is really eye opening in terms of, just experiencing different things. You know, I'm 30 years old and I'm blessed to say I've seen a lot more than the average 30-year-old, and I don't take it all for granted because, you know, I know that, you know, very few people are in the position that I'm in. So I embrace every opportunity that I'm in. I try to make the most out of it, whether basketball is going good or not, because, you know, you're going to have times like that where the basketball is not going to feel like fun. It's going to feel like work. But I think those are the times where if you can try to embrace yourself in something other than basketball, hopefully that'll pay dividends for you mentally. So my advice to the young hoopers coming up would just be, you know, don't be afraid to get outside of your comfort zone a little bit. Continue to work, continue to, you know, hone your skills and do what you can, in order to win, because I think that's the best way to level up in Europe is to win, be on winning teams, be part of winning cultures. And then who knows where that can take you. All right, guys, that is a wrap on Life Across the Water, Season 2, Episode 0. I'm glad to be back, man. I'm glad to be back doing this, you know, giving whatever insight I can, giving whatever knowledge I can to you guys in hopes that, you know, it educates some. Like I said, we got a lot in store for Season 2. I got a lot of guests in mind that I'm sure people are going to want to hear from. And yeah, man, there's nothing really much more to say for me. Mr. Certified in Person, you can follow Life Across the Waters on Instagram at _LifeAcrossTheWaters. Stay tuned for more episodes, more content. If you want to go get some gear, you can hit www.shopkp3.com to go get you some merch like this hoodie I got on. We got hats, we got sweats, we got socks, t-shirts, we got a little bit of everything. So go ahead and check us out, man. And if you want to follow me personally, if you don't already, my Instagram is at Kendrick3Perry. And yeah, man, just, you know, like I always say, just continue to try to stay certified in your day in and day out, in real life. You know, no matter what the world looks like on this phone right here, or on this social media, you know, always try to stay certified, stay authentic to who you are as a person. And I think it'll all work out in the long run. So this is me signing off. Life Across the Waters, KP3, Mr. Certified in Person. See y'all next time.